Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Simple kind of a question. Can people change? Well, a lot of people would say, sure. People can do one thing and then they can change their behavior, change their way of life, and do something else. I am going to say no. People cannot change. But God can change people. We have to struggle with this thing that we can change our behavior, but we can't change our nature. So I can change my behavior and never eat chocolate again. But that doesn't mean I don't want chocolate. I may stay away from the action, but down deep, the desire doesn't go away. And so in the external world, certainly there are behaviors that we can change, that we can act differently. We're always trying over again at New Year's Day and when spring comes and anytime somebody can advertise to try to get us to join their program, and they're waiting for us. Wouldn't you like to try to change now? And there may be some things, I guess, that get affected, but way down deep, if we could change ourselves, there would be no cross. There would be no resurrection. There would be no Christianity. There would simply be people who have looked at one way of living their life, decide it's wrong to live for themselves, and then start living for God, for others, outside of oneself. The Holy Scriptures say that cannot happen. We are born in sin. We are rooted in sin. We are born in selfishness and self-centeredness. We are rooted in it. And we cannot stop it. Much as we can try, if we even want to. And maybe we don't even want to try. Maybe we want to stay doing the very things that we've been doing and simply get away with doing them when no one's watching, when no one's looking, when no one is seeing the things that we're doing. So, if I shouldn't be eating chocolate, I'll just do it at 2 a.m. It's still going to affect my body the same way. Calories count whether you're standing or sitting, whether you eat in the daytime or in the nighttime. And that's just a simple one. We know there's other things that go on in our life as well. The foolishness is to think somehow we can be in charge and thus we don't need any help from the outside. Peter is writing to Christians in northeastern Turkey who apparently are at least beginning to undergo some suffering for being Christian. And he says, you have been changed inside. Many people see this as kind of a baptismal sermon where he reminds them, you have been baptized into Jesus. Here, it says, he died for you on the cross. He bore your sins on the tree. Another word for the cross. He bore your sins on the tree so that now you can live a new life. So much of the time, we set our minds to do something and then find out it didn't work. We trip, we fall, we fail. And many times we get discouraged. No matter how hard I try, I don't seem to be able to accomplish this. Before God, it's different. Before God, sin does not run the show anymore for Christians. It is not within us that we have a drive and a desire to do everything against God and nothing is going to change it. We have been crucified when Christ died on the cross. Our rebellion against God, it's gone. Does it mean it's not there at all? No. But it's not in charge. We can't change ourselves, but God has changed us so that we as Christians may be frustrated still that we sin against God and do things that are against His will, things that we are ashamed of, whether it be the sins of wicked things we do or the arrogance of saying, I'm doing fine on my own. But we are no longer under the power of it. We are no longer under the power to go against God. That's what Easter is all about. Our death, our rebellion is gone. So we can't change ourselves, but the Father, Son, and Spirit changed us. So that now we are at peace with God. We have no fear of God in that new nature that we have. And even when we acknowledge our sin and come before Him, as we do every worship service, we do not come trembling in fear, wondering what punishment God is going to lay on us and how He's going to hurt us for what we have done against Him. We come to say, Lord, strengthen me in that new life that I have. Strengthen me to know that I can live that life out, that I can honor You and praise You. Well, the trouble is, Jesus was perfect. He was holy. He was without sin. He was the most loving human being who has ever walked this planet. And yet they put Him to death. Not because He was bad, but because He showed up what everyone else was. He showed up that everyone else who said, I'm doing fine, I'm living just the right kind of life, when Jesus came along to love and to forgive, He irritated people, and their job was to get rid of Him. Yes, God used His death on the cross to take away all the sins of the world, but it was the world that hates God which wanted to get rid of Jesus because of His love, because of His healing power for people, because He would forgive people, not just because He mouthed the words, but because He said, I'm going to die on a cross and I'll take the power of your sin away from you and you can be at peace with your Father. And thus, Peter says, when you suffer, don't suffer because you did something wrong. If you went and you robbed a bank, you go to jail. If you ate 2 pounds of chocolate, you're going to have to deal with it. Jesus is not going to get rid of the 2 pounds for you. Wouldn't it be neat if we were Christian and He just got rid of all of the calories that we had that were too much, to say nothing of all the other things that we struggle with? It doesn't mean that we get a free pass and can do whatever we want, but it means that He's at work in our lives. And so when he says Jesus is an example for us, he's not just saying, well, try to be like Jesus. But he says, do you see what his new nature was like? Instead of trying to fight back and getting the 12 legion of angels to fight against Pilate or whoever else it might be, he said, I'll let my Father take care of this in his own good time. Much of what we struggle with in our world is people who have done something wrong to us, and we are driven somehow to get back at them. I've got to show that they're wicked, they're nasty, they're unbelievable people, and I want to pull them down. From Deuteronomy 32, it says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. We may suffer for being righteous, for loving people, for caring for those who nobody else cares for. The suffering that we have as Christians does not make us at peace with God. That's already been done. But it does say we can stand up as Christians and speak for that thing which God has done, how God has worked, and not wonder, should we just be silent, be quiet, and say nothing? He says, no. Be honorable. Talk about sin and grace. Talk about the kind of life that God has set forth for human beings, even if there are those who don't like the answer. Do that because you are honoring me. Who's your God? The people out there whom you're afraid of because they might say something to you? Or me, the one who has set life in motion on this planet, and I continue to bless it with my abundant and ever-present support? It doesn't mean we go spoiling for a fight, but when the times come that we say, this is how I live, this is what guides me in my life, to honor and praise the Almighty God by the power of the Spirit through the God who set me on a path that's going to live with him forever. And so there are times when we do stand up. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. Might be very irritating to people who think they're doing just fine on their own. It doesn't even have to be quibbling about the kinds of social issues. It might be just as simple as saying, I'm under the authority of the Almighty God rather than on my own. And thus I praise and I worship him. I love people because he died for them. And if you don't like it, well, you'll have to deal with him about it because I'm worshiping and praising him with my life. Peter says there are going to be people who will be irritated about people who are Christian. Don't go fighting them. Don't go putting them down. Don't go stirring up trouble. But there will be times when you will be treated poorly because you believe in the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation and an empty tomb. And that's okay. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.